With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
We didn't start the fire, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
Pete's here.
Bomb rush the shore.
Oh, my goodness. Just like the Wiki Wild Wild West, Peter. In the Scottish Championship on the weekend, we witnessed Helicopter Saturday.
Was Keegan involved?
Oh, I didn't think of that.
No.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Would.
Punching the helipad.
Yeah. This wasn't men taking out their glands as well, by the way.
I would have thought that Kevin Keegan would have the patent on helicopters involving football.
Maybe,
if not, he's missed a trick there.
Well, clearly the Scottish Championship don't think that. It was dubbed this because Dundee, Hamilton and Falkirk were in the running for
Hamilton, more on them later.
Big time. Yes. They were in the running for the league title, and thus the trophy would be flown to one of the grounds at the end of play. Gentlemen, if you could come up with a special footballing Saturday or Sunday, what would you create, Jim?
I would call mine non-uniform Saturday, but that wouldn't the title wouldn't entirely explain all of it. The title would be too long to explain all of it. Basically, the players would have to come in their own clothes.
Day for football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Oh, nice.
But it would probably be the first day of the season, so it's August, so it's the summer.
Yeah.
And it'd basically be exactly the same rules that you get over the park.
Mm.
So there's no referee, there's no offside, there's no half-time or anything.
And everyone has to agree on fouls.
Yeah, everyone has to agree on fouls, and also the game finishes when the sun goes down. So it just goes on for hours and hours. It'd be 47.
And people can just join
42.
In.
42. Yeah, and people can just join in.
Jump as a goalpost.
Yeah, bring your dog.
Do you mind if I join in? Ask him, it's his ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Not my game.
Yeah, but that would be
someone's got to bring a ball.
Nobody would bring a ball, and then the really crap kid would bring a ball. And be like, oh, he's got to play.
Yeah. And obviously, you wouldn't have ball boys.
This basically is mob football, isn't it?
Yeah,
back in the sort of 1800s.
It's made me all nostalgic.
Yeah, I think that's a good wonderful
answer.
Start to the show.
Do you fancy going
Bring
back in time, lads?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm well up for that.
I mean, you're the studio boffin, so if you know how to make it do that.
Yeah, you've got wires and that.
Let's see. No, they just turned us down.
Oh, annoying.
Yeah.
Better for the listeners, not better for us.
I mean, you could have asked me, I could have told you that's what I did.
Yeah.
So do you have a tagline for the day, Jim, do you think?
No.
Okay, well, that's what I asked. I can't give any points.
It's before taglines were invented.
The tagline.
Joking. What he asked for.
Joking, bruv, yeah?
Yeah.
Just bare jokes. Luke, what you got?
All right, guys. I've gone for...
You've done that.
Oh, yeah. I've gone for...
Did you think I was introducing the show there?
It's not the introduction of you on Blind Date. Hi, guys.
When you turned the mics down, did Luke go back in time by about 4 minutes?
Hi, guys.
I'm 32 from actually Portsmouth.
33,
in the shade.
Peter,
in the shade.
And I remember when you used to notice. I read this as on the last day of the season. So
well,
I've got a slightly
it's
different flavour.
Fine.
I've got a number of
Tell
suggestions
me what's your
here.
Flavour.
I've got a number of different suggestions here. The two strongest ones would be that if you have a 0-0 draw on the final day, neither team gets a point.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's
so
excellent.
It's a way of making the final day of the league season even more exciting.
Yeah.
And the other one I got for was a little bit like Formula One. Did you know that in Formula One, on the last Grand Prix of the season, the points count for double?
Right.
Ooh.
That's clever,
So all teams drive really fast cars.
Brendan Rodgers wants that to be true, yeah.
So all the points in the final, they count for double. I sort of started to run out of ideas after that. I went for a fan gets to play a half. And manager's fancy dress to finish with.
Yeah.
Which one are you going for?
I'm going to go for 0-0 draws on the final day mean neither team gets a point.
Yeah, okay.
I just think everyone can get on board with that. You've got to attack. If you know you need a point on the last day of the season to stay up, you've got to attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, you should have thought of that before you got yourself in that position. Simple as that.
37 games to avoid this meaning anything.
You know it's coming.
And I'm talking about as a man who supports a team who's been relegated 3 times in the last few years. So I know your pain.
Pete, what are you going for?
I'm going to go for Yoghurt Saturdays.
Right.
No, leave there. No explanation needed. Move on.
See ya.
No, he was quite an extra point.
All the Gatorade bottles, all the Lucozade bottles are filled with really thick Greek yoghurt.
Okay. There are other sports drinks available.
No, the players know, and that's the only liquids they're allowed to consume.
Dangerous.
So this is vomiting, white, everyone's slipping on yoghurt.
Surely, I mean, they would not consume that. So would we not have the caveat that they've got to consume
They've got to consume something,
like every time the ball goes out, they've all got to have a mouthful.
You've mentioned yoghurts before. Oh, somebody has. So, eaten 50 yoghurts or something before taking a penalty. Is that something along those lines?
That doesn't sound like something Pete would say. I want no part of this because I think there'll be deaths. But I may watch the highlights out the corner of my eye later that night.
Mm. So, Leo Messi. Oh, he'd be puking all over the place.
Yeah.
So you're taking this nationwide? Worldwide. My goodness.
Why
course.
Not, eh?
Why one keep life, a good idea?
One life, one world.
In these shores.
Yeah. One yoghurt.
What about lactose intolerant players?
They'd have a lactose-free
substitute.
Yoghurt.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You've thought it through.
Really thick curd.
Do you want to see his business plan now?
Tofu.
or they're out of action that week under the guise of an injury.
Yeah. They're allowed tofu.
A tofu yoghurt.
No, like chunks of tofu.
It's not any stretch. I mean,
in soy milk.
At a stretch, I'll give you yoghurt as a liquid. I'm not giving you tofu as a liquid.
I don't think that's what he's arguing.
He said it's the only liquid they're allowed. That's what he said.
So
the only
ute.
Right, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Are we all clear on that, listeners?
Why are we seriously debating
why,
that?
Why not?
It was like last week.
Because we're here, that's
when
why.
We started talking about my knowledge on scurvy.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, we had a doctor tweeting about that.
Yes,
I asked him to be the official round with doctor, and he said he would.
Excellent,
but that was under the caveat of when the revolution comes, which we need to arrange.
And so. I should probably point out, for clarity of information, he has been struck off.
Just by being associated with us, he automatically gets struck off.
You can't tweet during open heart surgery. Is what we've all learned.
I'd go for Speedboat Saturday. because I think that both teams have to pile on a speedboat. And it's a race to the ground. Obviously, rivers
like
need
David
to be...
David Beckham, like in the Olympics
Open. Yeah, rivers need to be created for this. Or more rivers, if you like. Yeah. You've got to go, and whoever gets to the ground first, if you get to the ground first, you can start, you can kick off.
That's poor, because the home team will have local knowledge.
No, you'd have to start from an equidistant position.
What I mean is, even if you start both teams from the same point of the estuary going into the river or whatever, the home team are going to have local knowledge of the water.
Well, then it's got to be on neutral ground, surely.
Okay, well,
they
get
equidistant from
neutral ground. Charts. They get given charts to Peru.
Yeah, are you trying to tell me, like, Jose Mourinho knows the Thames better than, I don't know, like, Alan Pardew?
That's a really bad example.
I think Jose Mourinho knows everything more than
absolutely. To be fair, he probably would, actually.
Yeah.
He'd probably blame the fans for the river being there, to be fair.
But if a player falls in on the way around, you know, that's him out.
Is that done?
Gone. So, yeah. Well, you can turn up just like five of you.
And that's going to be tough because speedboats aren't massive in my head.
No, that's what
you're going to struggle to get a whole squad on.
Yeah.
Tim Sherwood's you, though, would double up as a life preserver.
Wow. Yeah. I think Sherwood
Gary
would be
Monk's laughing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Steve Bruce would be rubbish, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
How do you work? Oh, we're off.
Sure, like Mark Lawrenson.
Schumacher would look the same going on as going off.
He would. Yeah.
Soggy.
Yeah.
I think this is an idea.
Yeah,
and it's certainly
that.
An idea.
Yeah,
has it won me the points? Jim's got the points. Clearly, we're all agreed there. We're all.
I know I haven't won the points, but it's my own piece of mind. I ranked higher than yoghurt.
It was really because he mentioned tofu. Then yeah,
okay, thanks.
There you go.
Most people are 70% yoghurt.
What in their makeup? Let's go to the Premier League. Manchester United, they've disappeared again. We thought they were back, they're not.
Gigs out.
They were beaten by Sunderland 1-0.
Get the plane. Get the banner out. Gigs out.
Get them all off the plane. Or onto that one. I don't know what's going on. Too many planes these days. Our planes getting harder to fly.
Is it the same amount of letters as Moyes? It is, isn't it? gigs
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Just support.
You just got to change the first four letters.
Yeah.
Change the first four letters. Very yeah. thrifty. And if you really wanted, you could double up and use that plane to take the players to Brazil.
Otherwise, we don't make
out,
it.
Gigs out behind it.
he's already talking about like, I'm gonna have to leave now to be a manager. Yeah. Like, oh, you weren't saying that before the first match.
50% win rate's all right.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that bad.
Not if you no. if the two games in Norwich and Sunderland at home.
Well, Sunderland are playing very well.
Yeah.
They've taken 7 points from their away matches at Manchester City, Chelsea and Manchester United. That is different club.
If you said to
You'd
me,
"You'd be happy with that with Arsenal, Jim."
Yeah, I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
Well, any team in the country would be happy with that.
Yeah.
Apart from
Manchester United, Chelsea or Man City.
If you said to all four of us, how many points would they take from those games going into those games? All of us would have said zero.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's some achievement.
Zero.
Absolutely amazing achievement, really.
Yeah, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Mm. But Sunderland will not be docked points for fielding an ineligible player earlier in the season, according to the Premier League. That is a sigh of relief they are breathing.
Mm.
Absolutely right.
So many lessons to be learned at that club.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, though, because
working
an email attachment didn't work properly or something like that? It was very basic. There wasn't anything untoward going on.
Well, they're emailing now. I thought they were faxing.
Well, maybe that's it.
Stick
maybe
the
they emailed instead of faxing, and that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't... They immediately threw the woman under the bus and went, it was their fault.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Don't dock us any points because we really can't handle them.
Dock her points or anything.
Yeah, my goodness. Sunderland, though, they're going to survive, aren't they?
I would think so now, yeah.
Yeah, Fulham are not. They're down.
They really, really went with a whimper as well, didn't they?
Oh, my giddy aunt, yes, didn't they just? Magat experiences relegation for the first time.
Mm.
You cannot concede 83 goals in a Premier League season and expect
no.
anything
Why?
Other than abject failure.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Just doing the maths in my head.
They've lost 24 out of their 37 games.
It's just shocking.
If anything, it's a miracle they've managed to keep it going.
Yeah, and the really amazing thing is they still don't look bothered.
They were tearing up the Europa League not so long ago.
I know.
It's incredible.
It is incredible.
And there was such a safe Premier League seat as
there
well.
Were.
It was Martin Jol who ruined it.
Oh, come on.
He was.
You changed your tune.
No, but he was, though. He nearly got them relegated his first season. That went under everybody's radar. And then the second season, this season, started, and they thought, oh, no, hang on a minute, he isn't good for us. Yeah, he's kind of a cool guy.
But he kept saying there are loads of worse teams than us in the division.
Yeah, and then it became really apparent that there wasn't.
No, it's just one.
So they got him Muehlenstein, and obviously he didn't last very long, so they went the complete opposite and got Magat, and he couldn't turn it around. Magat was really, really gutted, wasn't he? He said,
yeah.
Because he was involved in Germany's two World Cup final defeats, I think in 82 as a sub, and then 86 as an on-field player, I think. If my
yeah, he was weird. A brilliant player. Absolutely well, brilliant player. Yeah.
Playing the World Cup final. And he said this hurt more than those two World Cup final losses.
Well, he's really not had a long time to turn it around.
Yeah.
And he's not got a lot to work with, as we've
and
seen.
And there's also a certain amount of professional pride involved. He's
never
been relegated as a manager, you know, so...
Especially a manager of his age, you think to yourself, you know, you've won league titles and you've not been relegated and you've done all this. You've earned your stripes and then so late on in your career it happens.
Yeah, I'm not saying he shouldn't be gutted. not at all. I'm just... You know, defending him, really.
Yeah, I mean, he scored, as we said before, when he took the job, he scored that goal in the 83 European Cup final against Juventus. Beauty as well. Won the European Cup with Hamburg.
Well, there you are.
So he has known the very highest heights of what football can offer. Mm. And this is a big disappointment for him, of course, and for those players as well. It's very difficult, because people always say, oh, do you think they'll come straight back up and stuff? So difficult to say at this stage.
Yeah.
Depends on whether Magat sticks around, what players they keep hold of, and how they can apply the parachute payments and all that other
stuff. Well, they'll have Berbatov coming back. So.
Yeah, definitely. He can't wait. He's at departure, isn't he? Now. I cannot wait to be in.
But it's just weird, like you join a club and all you're used to from these players, this group of players, are not them not putting in half the performances that you'd expect from Premier League footballers. So you're kind of like going, wow, do I need to get the whole squad? Do I need to get rid of everyone? Yeah. You know, who do I trust?
Well, whatever happens, they will get it pre-season.
there is inkling, but you're absolutely right, Marcus, and there are little indicators that all is not well, clearly because they've been relegated. But look what happened with Mitroglou. I mean, he's come in, Magat has taken over, and Mitroglou, to all intents and purposes, has just been nowhere near the team.
No.
He's cost them a load of money. In actual fact, their best player this season has been Lewis Holtby. He's a lone player.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be gone. So they've really got to do a lot of soul searching and work out what they're going to do next, because those players just haven't been good enough.
Even someone like De Jager will probably get a move, you'd imagine.
Yeah.
He's had, you know, real flashes.
Absolutely.
And people will...
He's a second top half scorer or something.
Yeah, there you are. I mean, for Fulham fans, though, I would actually say that there could be an air of positivity, and I'll try and turn it round this chat anyway, that Fulham, had they have stayed up, I think it would just paper the cracks, really. I mean, yeah. Next season, what would they do? They would have to make a lot of signings and get rid of a lot of players. And it would have been very difficult because they don't have a spine, really. I mean, OK, you can argue Sidwell and Parker and Hangeland, but they've not really done it this season. There may have been an injury to Hangeland, but Parker's, you know, he's getting on a bit.
It had gone stale.
Yeah,
the positive things at the club had gone stale. Yeah. There weren't enough of them to begin with.
That's right. I mean, the spine of the team, of course, was Eto'o and Murphy and you know, Zamora, perhaps, and Dempsey, and that had gone. But they do have a very good academy, by all accounts, at the moment. They lost to Chelsea in the FA Youth Cup.
Yeah.
But McGatt's been impressed by some of the youth team players. They have shown... let them play a few times. Now, if they'd have stayed in the Premier League, those youth players probably wouldn't have got much of a chance, or they would have been used a little bit more sparingly. In the Championship, they do have money. They've got a rich owner. They'll be able to attract players because they live in a nice part of West London.
Yeah. I like the thought that they live there.
Yes, of course.
They'll live in a big cottage together.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the youth players will surely be given more of a chance in the Championship. So actually, if McGatt stays, which he says he will, and he likes the youth players, there is a chance, I'm trying to, you know, really put a positive spin on this, that they could build something in the Championship. Perhaps go up next season, maybe not, but make yourselves really good and then go again for the season after. So getting some of these youth players in that wouldn't get perhaps the playing time that they would in the Premier League and maybe make some good signings with the money that they have.
Yeah, I think the players they've signed as well, a lot of them just haven't been... Well, not even the players I've signed, but a lot of the important players for them haven't been able to feature consistently for the whole season.
No.
And obviously it's not helped that they've had different managers coming in with different ideas and different formations and stuff, but if you look at Hangeland, I mean, he's played like half the games, and Amora Bieta's played half the games, Berbatov's obviously gone.
Brian Ruiz.
Stekelenburg was injured for a long time. Turat's gone as well. It was a lot of upheaval for what seemed like just about all the season.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where they were just chucking so much stuff at the wall and hardly any of it was sticking. And the real killer blow was obviously that game against Hull where they were 2-0 up with 15 minutes to go, and then that was it, really.
They've just not deserved it.
No, they haven't.
I think we can all agree.
But anyway, you started off talking about Sunderland. That was a great result for them.
Of course.
Good finish by Seb Larson. And
really casual and a great ball in from Wickham as well.
Oh, he's been an absolute revelation.
Some people were shouting him to get on a plane to Brazil.
Oh, a bit late for that.
Bit late for that, as Hodgson even said himself.
Yeah, come on now.
That probably prompted Hodgson's response. Do you think they just went, Hodgson, what about Conor Wickham? And he just went, come on.
Yeah. Roy, what about... shut up. No.
He would never say shut up unless really, really pushed.
Okay, shut up, please.
There you go. That's what he said. Cardiff, they were relegated because they lost to Newcastle United. Doesn't matter how many points you've got at this stage. Yeah. If you lose to Newcastle, that's you.
That is a measure of how bad Cardiff is. Yeah.
That was a nailed-on three-pointer for me. My goodness me.
My goodness. And Ami Obi was on the score sheet.
he was, absolutely.
Astounding fact on Match of the Day, which was that only Alan Shearer and Peter Beardsley have scored more Premier League goals for Newcastle than Sholo Ami Obi.
Yeah, I mean, I'd go for
Newcastle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd look at how many matches Sholo Ami Obi's played compared to these footballers.
He's got 350 games for him, like 50 goals or something.
That can't be true.
Yeah, is he beat?
Take it up with Match of the Day, mate.
If you want to take a measure of how bad Cardiff are, just take your time to look over at Newcastle's recent record. Loss, 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 win against Cardiff.
Well, I think my favourite bit of that match was when Stephen Taylor scored like the third goal and just started celebrating like he'd won the FA Cup.
That was a Pippa Inzaghi celebration.
Been a big protest, 4,000 people left on the 60th minute, 69th minute. Oh, man. An idiot that boy is.
They really did stream out as well. I thought that was going to be one of those protests that doesn't really... show much. 4,000's a lot. Like, I know it's a big stadium.
But they couldn't decide which minute to go in, could they? Half of them went to the 60th minute, half of them went to the 69th minute.
Yeah, they went. That's the main thing,
Stephen
I think.
Stephen Taylor's celebration was two things. It was half Pippo Inzaghi. Yeah. It was half... He was genuinely thinking, all those fans that have left, I bet they're gutted now. They missed me scoring.
I did like the one banner that was Newcastle United 2013-2014 balance sheet champions, which I quite liked.
Yeah, that's nice.
Not even sure that's true.
And it was professionally printed, which is also a bonus.
Nice to see.
I did like it was the 69th minute. Obviously, the last time they won a trophy was 1969. That was the significance,
indeed.
I believe. Although I like to think they were like... They didn't realise that, and they were like, when should we walk out? 49th? No, 50th. Oh, we paid for it. 69th. So, 89th. There's no point if it's the 89th.
Arsenal fans will figure this is perfectly normal. I've got a stew on. I've got a pot roast on. Pete, if you're
I've got afternoon tea to get.
If you were at that Newcastle game, would you have left early, or what would you have done?
What my mates were doing, I guess.
Oh, pathetic.
Yeah. That's how we got involved in this.
If you don't have a season ticket, the tickets are very expensive. So, you know, if I'm going to pay 40-odd quid.
But, Pete, let's be honest, we all know, and the listeners will know, that you're independently wealthy, so answer the question. Answer the question.
I tell you what, I probably would have left because I might actually get an opportunity to be in the Strawberry Pub, which you can never get in after the match.
The Strawberry Pub? Is it shaped like a strawberry?
Yes, it's shaped like a big strawberry on the corner of the
that's brilliant.
Of St. James's Park, Marcus. Oh, nice. It's a big strawberry, and everyone after every match they go and have a little bite of it, and then it just grows, and then the week after it grows more strawberry.
It used to be called Shearer's Bar.
Is that right?
What is happening here?
It's a big strawberry, Luke, and...
It doesn't smell like a strawberry. Really.
Pete's got the points.
Yay! Goes with yoghurt. Nice strawberry yoghurt.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, you guys have had a terrible season.
Get yourself down the strawberry if you're...
Anyone who thinks the Premier League is the best league in the world, Newcastle, ninth. Still ninth. Top ten.
could not escape the top ten, even if they tried. Yeah. They still get their bonuses.
It'd be interesting to see if this Newcastle team tried to get relegated, what would happen?
Well, they were like,
well, you've just seen what's happened.
We're like, well, we don't want Europa. We don't have a squad for the Europa League. No. Oh, dear.
Get them out. Cockney Mafia out. Yeah. They're still saying it, Peter.
Yeah. I think vandalising bedsheets is the way to get them out as well. Yeah.
Well, that is certainly a favourite of the Premier League fans, isn't it? Mm. No, I think they... I hope we see some bedsheets in Rio. In the stands. Not in Rio, in Brazil. Well, in Rio, of course. You know. Aston Villa, they beat Hull 3-1. They're safe.
They're an odd team, aren't they?
They are an odd side.
They've had a pig of a season. Villa fans must just want this to be over.
I feel really sorry for Villa fans because they're a huge club and they're so much better than what their team often produces in a weird way. Yeah, they deserve more than that. They're such a massive club, Villa, and it's a big city, Birmingham. It should be able to attract...
Second biggest city in the UK.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly.
Or in
England.
I think that it's a funny one in terms of their ownership. The owner clearly wants to move the club on. He hasn't managed to do it. Paul Lambert's getting in the neck. Of course, Paul Lambert isn't blameless because they served up some pretty turgid shit this season. Yeah. But it's not as though they've got loads of players. Benteke's been out of injury and not really performed when they thought he would. They rely on him quite a lot. They've only managed to score 39 goals this season, which is obviously nowhere near enough. Yeah. And they concede a fair few as well. But I thought a positive was Andres Weimann. He looked really lively. Yeah. He's only 22. You know, good young player. The problem with Weimann, I think, this season, as far as I know, is he gets shifted around from pillar to post. Doesn't really have a proper position that he's nailed down. And when they put him up front with Agbonlahor, he's really good. He scores two goals, you know. Mm. So maybe there are positives to be drawn here and there. But, it's been a strange season for them.
Mm. Yeah, it really has. Hull got an eye on that cup final. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, they just don't want to get injured, do they?
Yeah, that is fair enough.
Not any player to get
injured. Is that fair?
Well, sort of. I mean, they've done their
job.
You
can understand it, can't you?
But it's a
bit frustrating if you're one of the fans.
They're a Premier League team next season. I mean, listen, if you said to a whole fan, safety in the FA Cup final, come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give him a day off. The one thing is that Curtis Davis looked pretty awful against Villa, and he's not been that great the last few weeks. Yeah. And he's been their standout defender this season.
That's right. Pleased for Steve Bruce, Pete?
Yeah.
Good. Chelsea... Got kept a clean sheet at home against Norwich. Norwich kept a clean sheet as well.
Yeah.
It was one of Jose's nil-nils, wasn't it? Mm. But not away to Atleti this time.
The thing about that which was really funny is the Norwich manager was really chuffed.
And it's it kept them in the division, really.
Well, how's he though?
For another week.
For a bit.
For another
it was
little
a game
bit.
They had to win. They set up the draw and they drew.
I think that's a good point.
Still, though, taking Norwich to Stamford Bridge with the season they've had and you know, executing a game plan properly is a
keeping a clean sheet at the bridge,
isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, taking a team from relegated to effectively relegated is what he's done.
Well, you never know.
They weren't unrelegated.
He's kept them alive.
But Jose Mourinho must have... Every time that man opens his mouth lately, he's going to be... people are just adding more numbers to a striker that may very well be heading to Chelsea.
Because
he wants one. He won't shut up about it. Mm. They're going to be going, well, if you want him, I want £50 billion.
Yeah. Do you think he does this on purpose?
I think...
So I told you we need a striker. Because he is a very petulant man. Yeah. There's your tactical genius. Can't score against Norwich. he can't be a tactical genius.
He just looks like he's been awake for weeks, doesn't he? Maybe that's why he keeps saying
Well, he might well have been.
Eden Hazard was getting annoyed, wasn't he? He was saying, we're just set up for counter-attacking football. He said, we don't get to... he's basically saying we don't get to express ourselves. I mean, and if you're someone like Hazard, who's bloody brilliant at football, who can tear teams apart, and that's why he's won Young Player of the Season.
I think Mourinho's got to be careful. I mean, I know he picks his battles with players, and obviously he's struck down with an iron fist against Hazard, but Hazard's been by far their best creative player this season, the top scorer as well. He's the only one who really looks like he's going to pull something out of the fire for them when they're struggling to break teams down.
But it's almost like Mourinho doesn't want that to happen. It's like he wants to create a very, very clear-cut chance on the break, and he doesn't want that X factor. He doesn't want someone who can just create a bit of magic out of nothing.
Unpredictability, because he doesn't feel like he can trust it sort of thing.
Yeah.
Marcus and I were talking a bit about Joe Cole at Chelsea just earlier. And it's a similar situation to that, isn't it, Mark? He turned Joe Cole into a sort of almost a player who he knew... he could predict what he was going to do, and that's what he wanted, sort of thing.
It is strange. There are so many echoes of his first spell at Chelsea.
I'll be interested to know what happens, because they're not going to win anything this season now. So I'd love to see what... not because I particularly care either way, but it would be interesting to see how the Chelsea fans react if Chelsea under Mourinho don't win anything or compete as much for anything next season, because it would be difficult for them to get to the semi-final of Champions League again. And it would be difficult for them to sustain a title bid for that long again. I mean, I'm not saying they can't do that, but these aren't done things. It's not done and dusted.
I don't know. I think they'll get the striker that they want in the summer, and I don't think you can ever, sort of, especially from this far away, say that Chelsea won't be competitive.
They'll have Matic all season as well, which would be a big
plus. Exactly.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised at all if he was getting the odd poor result. Now he knows the league's gone. I'm not saying he's throwing games, but you know they should just
prove a point, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure he did that for Madrid when they lost 5-0 away to Barcelona. I know Barcelona were the best team in the world at that time. They were playing amazing football. Mourinho wouldn't have set up like that normally. Go and beat 5-0 at New Camp. There's no way a Mourinho side would get beat 5-0 off anybody. And I almost think that because Madrid, when he went there, they obviously want this free-flowing attacking football, and he was trying to say to them, no, almost like a Dunga sort of a Brazil situation. Yeah. No, we need to be a bit more pragmatic, and we need to sometimes set up like this, and actually, because if they set up defensively, they're almost saying, well, Barcelona are better than us, and Madrid are never having that at all. So he almost like he went, well, there you go, prove it.
Yeah.
Still, but, since we last recorded, John Terry cried.
Yeah. Ashley Cole cried as well.
Yeah.
It's a double.
I know.
Everyone's crying. Yeah, a lot of crying going on.
You're not crying, Pete.
I'm not crying.
No. Not yet.
Tears of joy from Pete Donaldson.
Also, going back to Chelsea's, you know, or Hazard's kind of criticisms, I suppose. Can you imagine how frustrating it would be as a Chelsea player if you are Hazard or Oscar or any of those forward players who are obviously very talented attacking players that you're basically not allowed to express yourself? As you say, like it's like you're playing with, like, I don't know, stabilisers on.
Yeah, he's very conservative with his fullbacks as well, isn't he, Mourinho?
And also, if you are Hazard and you know you're that good, you think, oh, well, I wouldn't have minded to have gone on a dribble against Atleti and tried something. I wouldn't have minded to have a go, because I can produce something. I did it in this game, in that game, and in the other. And then Mourinho says, well, hang on a minute, mate. You know, it was his fault for the goal, and he starts stringing them out in the press. And you might turn around and go, hang on a minute, mate.
Surely so much at that level is enjoying your football, enjoying the game, being able to express yourself and do stuff that, you know, a lot of other people can't. And if you're hampered in that, you're not going to be happy.
But the risk of contradicting myself, we've got to be careful, because you do praise Mourinho when he gets Samuel Eto'o to play on the left wing for his Inter side and they end up winning the Champions League.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So it is a fine line, but you're right.
Yeah, but when that isn't working, then, you know, all the problems come to the fore.
True. True. Very, very true. Very true. We should say, by the way, that Norwich, at the time of recording, is still alive. I think if Sunderland win their midweek game, then they might not be.
But I think Sunderland just need a point, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Everton, funnily enough, didn't do Liverpool a favour. They lost 3-2 at home to Manchester City. But what a goal by Ross Barkley to break the deadlock.
He was excellent. I mean, it was a strange...
onto the plane?
A very strange... Oh, you'd have to think so. Yeah. It's a strange game as far as the Everton fans... I don't want to sort of tar them with a brush.
They didn't know what they wanted, really, did they?
A small minded brush, but it was confusing for them.
Yeah.
It wasn't the atmosphere you'd expect. Even when Barkley scored that goal, which is a beauty, and he was so good. I know they got beat. And I know that by the nature of his age and the nature of the position he plays, he will drift in and out and he'll be a bit inconsistent at this stage in his career. But when he was on the ball, he was so exciting to watch. He made Javi Garcia, who is an internationally capped for Spain football midfield player, he made him look average. He made him look like a Sunday league player. Yeah. He got to the point where Javi Garcia wanted to grab Barkley's shirt and shorts all the time and stuff, but he knew he'd been booked and he couldn't. Mm. And Barkley just ghosted past him over and over again. Mm. And I don't want to put too much pressure on him, not that he listened to this show, but he's got a bit of the Gascoigne about him.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's that comfort on the ball. Watching him on the ball reminds me of when you're playing FIFA online against some 12-year-old who's amazing. Yeah. And he's just pissing it around you and making you look like the old man that you are. There's an excitement when he's on the ball. He's just so comfortable.
The game
with it.
Seems
you know
to
he's
going to
do something positive.
Yeah, it's great. I really enjoy watching him play.
I sort of slightly worry when you say he's a bit of the Gazza of old. You think, we just don't produce players like that. And are we just remembering Gazza as the great player he was and just trying to?
Well, do you know what I think? I think the reason we never used to produce players like that is because that's not what the environment was like in England. And Gascoigne was very much the exception to the rule.
Mm. Well, and a 4-4-2 doesn't really,
of course. But now football is so much more international, so much more universal, and kids are just as likely to be growing up playing FIFA and seeing all these different players.
Well, and with the internet as well, YouTube and whatnot.
All that stuff. So they're much more likely to come through with a more rounded, maybe even more skillful
listening to the football ramble.
Well, watching the Champions League on,
but despite
as well, Jim, as well.
Yeah, but despite listening to the ramble, but the one thing I would say is that I would love to see Martinez build his team around Barkley next season if he's convinced enough that that Barkley can become consistent, because there's been games this season where he's not been that. I mean, I think I remember getting dragged off against Villa where he was actually quite poor. But then again, as I said to you, he's very, very young.
But that'll happen.
Yeah, that will happen. There were games, I think, when Everton went away to Chelsea back in February and Chelsea beat them, he didn't really affect the game in any way. But, I mean, you sort of would expect that at this stage in his career. But I think he's a fantastic player.
I just think he's one of those footballers that you want at a major competition just to throw him on,
something.
See what happens. Yeah. And just he's just exciting, you know. It's just that's what you pay to, or not pay to, watch football.
It's not what Mourinho wants out of a player.
Because you think that Hodgson in the summer for England... He's probably going to use Sterling, isn't he? But he's probably going to use Sterling wide. He's not going to use Sterling off a front man like Liverpool occasionally do. So, therefore, if he considers Sterling as being a wide player, then Barkley comes into the fore to be the sort of deputy to Rooney, which will be very interesting.
Well, Lallana.
A lot of those players, of course, they still get highlights. A lot of the opposition players get DVDs and highlights and stuff, of course they do, but a lot of them won't have any clue about Barkley. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Mm.
Isn't it nice to be able to talk about an England squad with so many new players?
Yeah, he won't get picked now, will he? Fresh.
No.
Indeed. Aguero equalised for Manchester City, and then Dzeko got a brace. Lukaku pulled one back. But yeah, it was a strange atmosphere in Goodison, as you touched on, Luke. The home crowd very quiet throughout. And it is a funny one for them, because obviously you don't want to see your side lose. And you want to see your team beat the best teams in the league, especially when they're doing okay. One of their young starlets has scored a great goal and whatnot. But at the same time, they can be forgiven for thinking, oh, but if our neighbours win the league, my goodness, we'll have a horrible time of it next season. But it was a great win for Man City. And Graham Souness rightly pointed out Joe Hart making a couple of saves, especially against Naismith, I think it was.
I thought Tim Howard could have done better for the Aguero guy, actually.
I thought that as well.
It was a nicely struck goal.
Yeah. But did you not think Tim Hart, though?
Tim Hart. Joe Hart, he did play well, yeah.
Joe Hart.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
Joe Hart.
What am I thinking? I thinking Tim Flowers or something?
You're thinking Tim Howard, weren't you?
Tim Howard, yeah.
Joe Hart has clearly been, has not had the greatest of seasons. He's been a little bit inconsistent, and it's important that he puts in some. Tomorrow night, as we're recording now, and next weekend, he puts in a decent performance, because there's not that much football between now and the World Cup, and we need him.
Yeah.
But he
played a vital part there, because it was a fantastic save. Mm. And that would have, what was it, that at 2-1, I think it was. But Manchester City, though, the news, as they're about to win the Premier League, one would think, they face a wage cap and a £49 million fine after a breach of the FFP rules.
But the way the FFP works is that they have to negotiate a penalty, don't they?
Oh, do they? So let's talk about £49 million.
That's what UEFA have come out with and said, and now Man City will go back to them and say, no, actually, we negotiate.
We can't afford that.
Yeah.
Do you realise that will put us back even more at this old...
It's them and PSG, isn't it? I think PSG's agreement is close.
You're right.
But Man City's is really far away.
It must be negotiable, because UEFA don't want the big teams to pull out of European competition because they hurt their own revenue. So it's a weird...
Yeah, Malaga is straight out.
Get out.
Yeah. What about PSG?
Yeah. What about Barcelona? Definitely not.
No, we've just changed the rules.
Yeah, no, we'll just suspend them from transfers, but not really.
Yeah.
Show me the rules.
Not really with Chelsea.
This is scribbled on a fag packet. What? Yeah, funny old
so
one.
So it's interesting to see what happens. I think they'll negotiate one thing or another, won't they?
I know.
But one of the threats, though, is that they'll have a 21-man Champions League squad, which would be a really effective punishment.
Yeah. Blimey.
Perhaps I still won't win it.
Yeah. They will continue to not win it.
Yeah. That's right, that's right. But yeah, a good 3-2 win for them. Liverpool, obviously, chasing Manchester City. They scored three goals as well.
Yeah, less emails from Liverpool fans this week.
Yeah.
I mean, can you talk about Liverpool, please, Mark?
Oh, I can't believe you haven't mentioned Liverpool. We're mentioning you tonight. Yeah. Strap yourselves in, Liverpool fans, and enjoy it.
We've mentioned Liverpool loads.
All season.
Silly sausages. Yeah. Oh, it was like watching the highlights back. Because when they were 3-0 up, you did sort of think, my God, if they can get a couple more. You could, yeah. It could be this weird situation where, on the final day of the season, they beat Newcastle 5 or 6-0, which is very possible. Yeah. And the league's there, and you think, whoa, hang on a minute. And of course, it didn't happen. Mm.
Well, have you seen that this game is being referred to as Christanbul?
Oh, dear. That's a shame.
That's not nice, is it? They've got to win the game. 3-0 up and 11 minutes to go.
It's crazy.
That is unbelievable, isn't it?
I think what's happened is they've raced into a lead 3-0 and they've really got a taste of the biscuit and they've tried to push on. And that's understandable because for reasons.
Well, and admirable as well. But, we talk about
Mourinho's tactics. But when it gets to 3-2.
Defend.
Mission abortion.
Yeah. Forget the goal difference.
Get the win.
Close it out.
To be fair, their last goal was a beaut. Chest down.
Great finish. And Dwight Gayle's ripped them to pieces. He's pulled them apart there.
His positioning was superb. His first in particular.
It was. And the great thing about this, which keeps us kind of, apologies, Liverpool fans, but you've had your fun as well.
you love it, don't you?
But they've had their fun. But I'm not having a go at them. It's just unfortunate they're on the end of it this time. But what I'm trying to say is there are things that happen in football that if all four of us sat down and watched it, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The Palace players know what's going to happen.
Yep.
The Liverpool players know what's going to happen. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And everyone's just waiting, and then it happens. Yeah. Like, we knew that was going to happen. Yeah. It's like a massive collective deja vu. Mm. And you know it's going to go, and it's exactly what went on. And no one could stop it. No
I remember this happening when Liverpool beat Arsenal in the Champions League at Anfield. We watched it together. And it was when, I think, Ryan Barber went over for a penalty. You looked at me and sort of just flapped because that exact thing had happened.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah, right.
Well, it was like when Liverpool were 3-0 up against Newcastle United at Anfield many, many years ago. And I think, who was it? Was it Asprey or...? Somebody pulled one back for 3-1. Mm. And you thought, when was the last 4-3? No. It's going to. And of course, Newcastle, they get another. And then they get the. Although Fowler produced the goods.
Right, Newcastle, Arsenal at 4-3.
Yes! Yeah.
Like, mate, I knew. I was watching that on my phone, basically. I knew at 4-1. Honestly, I knew it. I just knew. We were going through such an inconsistent period at that time. It was just obvious and maddening. It must be so frustrating for Liverpool fans. Because, as you say, at 3-2, they didn't even seem to consider the idea of closing the game out.
I just think at the back of their mind, Liverpool fans and Liverpool players maybe, they know that, I mean, it may not be true, but it's likely they're not going to get another chance as good as this again.
No, not for a long time.
Where everyone's in disarray, pretty much. Mm. Nobody's playing to their full potential.
And
United aren't there.
No European football to scupper them either.
Yeah, that's right. Chelsea are not going.
I mean, it's not over yet. Villa beat City at Villa Park. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not.
I'll tell you what, Luis Suarez needs to work on his grimace. Looks like he's laughing all the time.
He certainly wasn't at the end.
Well, who knows under that? He actually walked into someone by accident because he had his shirt over his head.
I don't think he was laughing, trying to hold it.
Do you know what the thing I didn't like about that is when Steven Gerrard was consoling him, which is fine, he's captain, that's what he should do. When Steven Gerrard started waving away the camera, no. you are as part of this money filled footballing cesspool as the rest of us.
Yeah.
We want to see the detail of every last salty filled tear duct
in
of
HD.
That man's football fucking face. We are going to. And there's nothing you can do about it, Gerrard. We've paid our subscription.
Yeah.
You've taken your coin. You've taken your piece of silver. We want tears.
You've had your Mars advert.
You can't do that. You can't take the money. You can't take a 200 grand a week salary and then go, no filming, please. No, the drama's what we've paid for.
Yeah.
I wanted Liverpool to win the league this season. Genuinely.
You're one of them, aren't you?
I genuinely...
You and the man. You've joined the man. It's the footbally man.
Capital One.
No, that's over now. We've done. We don't need that anymore.
I genuinely did want Liverpool to win the league. I'm not just.
We all did.
And the drama of it has been remarkable. It's been very entertaining. Of course, it's no consolation to Liverpool fans.
They've been fantastic.
But they're going to score 100 goals this season, probably, and not win the league, which is an incredible achievement.
I mean, we say it's unlikely that they'll get another crack at it recently or in the near future, but they have played so well, so well. They've got a lot to build on. Obviously, they've got to make signings now. They're going to be in the Champions League again. But, you know, Rodgers have got them playing some great football. If he just sort of tightens it up a bit, obviously, you know, defenders are going to be the priority, well, you think. Who knows? If they can hang on to Suarez.
That's where they need to strengthen. I mean, obviously, Chelsea need to strengthen up front. Maybe the same for Arsenal. Manchester United, you know, take your pick.
Man City will be strong, won't they?
Man City, probably in the centre of the park. Man City need to strengthen. Maybe the centre midfield. You could argue centre back, but Liverpool.
Spurs will fancy themselves.
they've still got players left over from last summer, I think.
They've not even got out the packet yet.
Eric Lemaire doesn't even know what our lane is. what do you think about Water Lane? Yeah, a lot to go there, something. Looks really good.
I've heard all about it. I've been following them this year.
I've only just had my security pass done for the training ground.
Bloody HR. Yeah. HR. I think Liverpool, they may need a new, what do you think, new keeper? I mean, Mignolet's a good keeper, but...
I think he's okay.
No, I think he's done all right.
Do you think? Okay. But certainly in defence.
Yeah, they need to strengthen, of course, because as Jim said, they'll have Champions League next season.
Barini's coming back.
I'll tell you what, Barini would be a better backup player than Iago Aspas, I think.
Yeah. He's not in a good time.
And Iago Aspas is actually a lot older than you think he is as well. It's not like he's going to vastly improve.
Mm. Before we move on from the Premier League, little nod to Southampton for finishing the season with a club record points tally, I think.
They've had a great season. And I was thinking about this on the way here and I was thinking...
Damn them.
Now, is it not a little bit naughty that Pochettino's got away with playing a weakened team for the FA Cup?
Has he?
Well, he did, didn't he? And they went out of the FA Cup completely unnecessarily. Well, not in the final, Marcus.
This is a pitch.
They played a weakened team and there was no need for it. They were always going to finish about 8th, 9th or 10th, around there. And that is a real opportunity for them. It's a real fillip for Pochettino's CV as well. But that aside, well done.
The faults were found there. On
no, I think Southampton fans will agree with me.
Okay.
Would you not want to rather have a chance of winning the Cup? I mean, you'd love a great stab at the Cup, wouldn't you?
I'd love Lallana.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't mean that.
No, of course. But if you are right, Luke, which I'm sure you are, then yes, I agree with you. on to the Championship. It just doesn't disappoint, ladies and gentlemen. Bolton 2, Birmingham 2. My giddy aunt, what an escape from Birmingham City.
There is not a more relieved man around than Darren Randolph. He chucked one into his own net and looked inconsolable.
Absolutely.
It looked like he was going to retire there and then.
Easily the best thing of that weekend for me was Lee Clark on the final whistle when he ran towards the fans with his fist in the air. But he looked like it was such an aggressive celebration. I thought, is he going to thump people when he gets there? Do you know what I mean? He was absolutely loving it. He dived into the crowd.
He was still very emotional in this post-match interview.
Fantastic.
He sounded like his voice was going to crack in his post-match interview. And the thing was, Birmingham flirted with it. 2-0 down with 15 minutes left.
Yeah. Just outrageous.
They got one back.
Well, they got one back straight away.
And they could have gone 3-1 down. Neil Downs had a golden opportunity. Yeah. Blazed.
Good save from
the
keeper. There was another one, a one-on-one.
Do you know what I loved? I loved that, obviously, it was dependent on results elsewhere. And the fans were singing... One goal, we only need one goal. To the players to tell them.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Getting involved.
Yeah,
brilliant.
That's it. Sucking the ball into the net.
There was a bloke in the crowd with his son as well. They kept showing on the Football League show. And he had his son who was a toddler in his arm.
I saw that.
His arm, obviously because it was really rowdy in that end. He didn't want him to get crushed. And he's holding him. And every time he went back, he was still holding him.
Yeah.
At the end, when he realised that they had stayed up, he was like, just tears.
Yeah, it was so emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
His muscles were so tired.
And I mean the dad, not the son. The son didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. But he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so
crucial.
He'll
never use that arm again.
So so crucial that they got one back straight after. It was Zigic because they looked deflated. 2-0 down, the keeper's made an error.
Yeah.
And you thought, surely that's it.
And then the injury time ball went up.
Indeed.
6 minutes.
It's on. and Cadiz nodded in right at the death. And they went absolutely postal, didn't they?
His first ever header.
Is that right?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a good time. No,
what they connected
not,
with.
Yeah, not like having a header of a
didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
No wonder he hasn't scored a goal.
It's his second goal in 63 games, right?
I love that.
What a price.
When there are tight margins, it always tends to be weird players that score.
Well, the ultimate example was Jimmy Glass, of course.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Leicester beat Doncaster 1-0 on David Nugent penalty. Of course, along with Cadiz equaliser, condemned Doncaster back to League One.
It's difficult for Doncaster. If you're going to leave it down to the last day of the season and you're away...
I don't think that was the plan.
No, but do you know what I mean? The writing's on the wall.
You risk the difference.
I felt really bad for Paul Dickoff. He looked so distraught.
And, he really did.
Nigel Pearson went over and sort of gave him a little ruffle. I think he might have played for under Pearson as well.
Did they play together?
Oh, maybe they did, yeah.
I can't remember.
And it was weird because Dickoff went from pulling faces worthy of the late, great Bob Hoskins, just fuming, to when the final whistle went, just that was it. Everything, every last drop of spirit just left his body.
And that's how, when you know a situation is that bad. Someone like Dickoff, he is... you know, like
he's such a competitor, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a bit like a Malcolm Tucker or a Jamie from the thick of it. You know, he keeps going and going. And when that man's kind of given up and accepted defeat because it is defeat, then you just think, that is it. There's no one else who's going to be fighting.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, poor old Dickoff and Doncaster. Millwall beat Bournemouth 1-0 on the last day, and Holloway's men stayed up fairly comfortably in the end.
Yeah, I mean,
but they turned it on, like Sunderland.
Yeah, they went the last eight games of the season undefeated.
There you go. Mm.
I mean, they've had a poor season, though. I mean, their goalkeeper's been player of the year, and that tells its own story, you know. Holloway, he made a brilliant save late on as well to keep them the points.
Holloway, you know, he's kept them up, and, you know, he's done a fairly good job, hasn't he? There's a manager who likes players to go and express themselves. Mm. It's not always a good idea.
I think it might be a bit of a force next season.
It could be.
Might do okay.
Could well be.
Speaking of goalkeepers winning player of the year, did you see the Norwich campaign to get Carlo Nash?
No,
voted
this?
To be their player of the year. They tried to hijack the online vote for who was their player of the year.
And
it was Carlo Nash, third choice goalkeeper, hasn't played a game.
Did they actually win it?
No. Well, actually, I don't know. He said he wouldn't accept it if he did win it. I don't know actually how that turned out in the end. But
would you not find that really awkward and patronising?
Oh,
yeah, Carlo Nash.
Terrible. Yeah. But there were so many Norwich fans piping up saying, he's been brilliant. He's not conceded a single goal season. I don't know what we'd do without him. He's really driving it home.
Yeah. At least nice to hear fans respect their players, isn't it?
Yeah. Brighton sneaked into the playoffs ahead of Reading with an injury time winner from Ulloa, the Argentine forward. Reading drew 2-2 with Burnley. Reading just needed a win. It was a great game.
And McCleary. Reading,
what a goal from McCleary.
Dare I say Zinedine Zidane.
It was like Zidane. When he scored it, he did a kind of celebration as if to say, well, that wins us the game, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's three
funny
goals.
You say it because I got the vibe of his celebration from, yeah, I can't believe that either.
Yeah. I know. Absolutely.
Well, this is annoying because this is obviously a dream.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough. And Reading had chances to win the game. And Burnley were knocking them off the line and the keeper and this, that and the other.
Yeah. Danny already scored a beauty.
They've already promoted.
I thought him from Burnley are already up.
Yes.
It's annoying. It's very annoying.
Very annoying. And then Brighton in the last seconds scored away to Nottingham Forest. And it's them who go into the playoffs. Reading, some of their fans are on the pitch.
They love a pitch invasion at Reading.
Don't count your playoff spots too soon, is the old expression.
It was horrible. An horrible thing to happen.
Yeah.
Because then you're on the pitch thinking, oh, this is annoying.
Yeah. It's hard to shuffle off en masse, isn't it?
How horrible would it be? You're on the pitch. I've got to get back off it now.
I've now celebrated staying in the Championship.
Yeah. To be fair, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, well, could be worse.
Mm. Well, not when you just miss out on the playoffs, but when you should really not.
Seems sarcastic.
Yes, it does, Jim. Yes, it does. Let's go to League One. Crewe survived. They beat Preston 2-1 on the final day. Many didn't want to see Crewe go down because of their prominent academy and whatnot. Notts County also survived. Tranmere were relegated on the last day. They'll go down with Carlisle, Shrewsbury and Stevenage into League Two
next
season.
Started the season off really well, didn't they?
Yeah, they've gone.
Well,
their man Ryan Lowe has scored over 20 goals this season, despite their position.
And imagine how good Crewe's academy would look in a division down.
it
was incredible.
That's one way of looking at it.
But they'll regret staying up now, won't they?
Yeah. All the other teams did go down. Their academy's going to look better now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Idiots.
If they'd gone down, they could have had a pitch invasion like Reading.
Yeah, our academy's going to look any better.
Well, in League Two itself, Wycombe Wanderers beat Torquay 3-0 and survived as Bristol Rovers lost 1-0 at home to Mansfield.
This is by far the most sickening news of the weekend.
Yeah.
Bristol Rovers have never been out of the Football League in their history.
Yeah.
the amount of days that Northampton Town spent in the relegation zone out of the to go out of the Football League, 217 days in the relegation zone. How many days did Bristol Rovers spend in there?
Just the one?
One.
Jeez.
The final day.
Oi, there's a strategy. We will leave it till the final day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
God,
Wycombe Wanderers,
depressing, isn't
Wycombe Wanderers, I mean, I saw Wycombe Wanderers play about 2 or 3 months ago, and it felt like the death of football watching them. And they have turned it around, beating Torquay.
My goodness.
Away as well, by the way. That's long trip down to Torquay.
All Bristol Rovers needed was just a point to stay up. And they're playing Mansfield. And I don't think Mansfield had anything to play for. And Rovers hit the bar, they hit the post. And it, oh, my goodness, they're now out of the Football League, as you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be a weird set of circumstances that saw Wickham stay up. But, I mean, like, as you say, Mansfield is banging mid-table. Nothing to play for at all.
Dear. How sickening is that, Peter?
Quite sickening. As if you've eaten, like, a massive load of Greek yogurt and you...
Tofu.
Pretty sickening.
Shall we go to Scotland?
Let's
go to Scotland, the Scottish Championship.
Get some shortbread.
Dundee will replace Hearts in the Scottish Premiership next season after they won 2-1 against Dumbarton.
Hearts now definitely out of the title race.
From 3 years ago.
Well, no, they'll be in it next season.
Yeah, why you say that?
They'll definitely be in it next season with Rangers.
Yeah, you know that.
Actually, no, they might not even be.
That's
going to be like the old days,
Rangers don't go bust again. Any news on that?
Newco. Rangers Newco. Yeah. Could become Rangers Olco. Well, the sounds of
Rangers
it, yeah.
They're struggling
times. But had going back to Dundee, had Dumbarton found an equaliser, they'd have lost out on promotion on goal scored to Hamilton Academical, because they beat Morton 10-2. 10-2 in a professional league match. Marvellous. Wow. There was a hat-trick and a haul in the same game.
And an own goal.
And an own goal, Peter.
Sounds like I had everything.
Kinds of goals.
For me, alarm bells are ringing there. Because they had 11 shots on target and scored 10 goals.
That is lethal.
That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah.
What are Morton playing at?
When it comes to being really suspect.
What are Morton playing at? Because I'll tell you something, it's not football.
I didn't see any of the goals, but I reckon they were all corners. Into the corners. I love that. A hat trick and a
haul. Police machine will become involved.
Well, that's right. Falkirk were in with a shout at the league trophy as well, but that didn't happen, and then the helicopter headed off to Dundee. But imagine that, if Dundee... I mean, what would that have been, an 8-goal swing? Well, it's all right if we get a point. They're getting on the radio. Yeah, right, we've really got to hang on, boys.
I'll tell you now, it's that result that cost Liverpool the title. Because they've seen that and thought, you know what?
We're
much better than them. Fancy a bit of that. So, actually, Liverpool fans for not winning the title can blame Hamilton.
The Hamilton Accies.
I'm going to blame the turbulence that the helicopter caused. Up in the north.
What, the chaos effect? The chaos effect. Butterfly flaps its wing. Helicopter flaps its rotors in Hamilton. All of a sudden, goals are at the top.
Goals. Yeah. But if you think that was a high scoring game.
I do.
Which it is. Yeah. It will always be. It doesn't matter what I say next. Yeah. Then don't bother thinking again.
It wouldn't be on non uniform day, to be fair.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I think they had non uniform day in Italy in Serie D because Cavese 1919.
1,919 goals?
That is unbelievable.
Wow.
Are you being serious, Marcus? Speller, because I'm not being funny, mate, right? But
really
that is like unbelievable that amount of goals.
That was a trap. That's why you've been so quiet. You've been waiting for that.
21.3 goals a minute.
Shut up.
Sorry for the stalling. Actually, the calculator thing on my computer.
Oh, very good, though. Well done. Cavese 1919. They beat Licata 19-5.
Wow.
On the weekend. So the 1919, they scored 19 goals, which I thought was quite nice. Sure, lots of others made that connection as well. Licata only had 9 youth team players playing because of a players' dispute.
Was the dispute whether they were players or not?
I must be. Must be. I mean, there's your academy there. Your academy's not that good.
Nice confidence boost for the youth team. Yeah.
To be fair, they got 5 goals. Actually, that is amazing. Yeah, it was 5 goals away from home. That's one of those ones where it's the manager who wasn't there because I think he quit a few hours before the kick-off.
He headbutted David Mailer.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you score 5 goals away from home, you don't end up winning.
Yeah.
I love that, though. 19-5 doesn't make sense.
No.
Like 19-1 would make sense. 19-5.
Any police machine comment?
I don't think they're involved. I think because
do a Glenn Denning.
No, less of that. He's in trouble with the Neapolitans. Yeah. Cavese striker Claudio De Rosa scored 9, 3 hat tricks.
Yeah,
well, hat trick of hat trick.
That's a good season's haul, really.
It's the hat trick perfect hat trick.
That's almost double figures, isn't it?
I reckon if you get a hat trick of hat tricks, you get an extra 10 goals, and that explains the result.
Hat trick cubed.
Ooh. Hat trick guilty.
Luke with the last. Yeah. Northern Irish celebrities. On the ramble. Just the one. Serie A. Serie A. Let's go up a few divisions. Juventus are league champions.
Yeah.
Roma lost 4-1 at Catania, handing the old lady the title.
4-1.
It's poor, isn't it?
Mm. Very poor result, given how well they started the season. Didn't they win 9 games on the spin to start?
Something
with?
Like that, yeah, something like that. They still had a good year, though.
Rudy Garcia running amok.
Rudy. Milan beat Inter in the Milan derby. Nigel De Jong got the goal. Milan are up to 7th. Javier Zanetti was an unused sub, so he didn't play.
Yeah, that's poor.
The last derby as he retires at the end of the season.
My brain can't handle that. My brain won't process that Zanetti's retiring.
You're telling me
don't believe it.
After the service he's given that club, they can't give him 5 minutes at the end of this final derby.
It's more, isn't it? In a match that doesn't really matter, I don't think.
Because Sabian were there. They got given shirts.
They look very miserable.
Yeah, well, again...
Wouldn't you be if you were Kasabian?
I was given a free Milan shirt with my name on it at the San Siro.
I just think it overshadowed Zanetti's last game.
Yeah.
What they did.
Kasabian being there.
Hope you're happy now, Kasabian.
Seedorf was loving it when Milan scored. Little cheeky fist pump.
It's a Milan derby.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's just great to see.
All I'm saying is...
What are you saying?
Zanetti has been a servant to that club. They need a goal. They're 1-0 down against Milan in the derby. Mm. Get him on.
Yeah. Mm.
Get him on, for God's sake.
What is happening to football? Zanetti and Kevin Phillips going in the same year. Yeah. That's poorly panned. And Antonio Di Natale, apparently, isn't he?
Oh, what?
They're all in the same time. That's...
It's only Christmas. There's enough to doubt me to doubt whether football even actually is actually a thing.
Well, it's ending, isn't it?
Anymore.
Yeah. That's right.
The game's gone, lads. The game's gone.
Apart from the league playoffs with Papa John's, you can check out the podcast.
Yes, of course, it's
online now.
Is it really?
Well done, Pete.
Yeah.
I'm back again. I just went and got it. In the Coppa Italia final, Napoli beat Fiorentina 3-1. The game nearly didn't go ahead. There was trouble beforehand after a man fired a gun into the Napoli supporters. Nobody died, although I think someone's in intensive care. So, awful happenings there.
He's a Roma fan, wasn't he?
Roma fan, I think, but hasn't been to a Roma game for something like 10 years.
Yeah, well, presumably he's been banned. But Marek Hamšík had to...
If you're going
to
pull up shit like that, don't want him there.
That's true.
Marek Hamšík had to sort of debate with one of the Napoli ultras and explain that it was nothing to do with any Fiorentina fans because they were all kicking off in the stadium.
That's right.
That guy's now been banned as well for ringleading all that. It's such a shame.
The way Italian football works is crazy, how the ultras actually have a say in what goes on.
Yeah, it happens in Argentina as well.
It does, very much so.
Bravas.
But it's good for Napoli to get a trophy. They've been pretty good this season.
Benitez done a good job.
He loves a cup.
Let's talk of Benitez going to Spurs.
Man United.
People were reporting the other week.
Imagine that.
Oh, that won't happen. But people were reporting the other week that Benitez apparently said that he wants the Spurs job.
Yeah.
He loves English football, doesn't he?
He does. He loves living in England, doesn't he? Well, it would suggest, wouldn't it? Let's go to La Liga. Oh, no! They lost!
Oh, no!
Levante beat Atletico Madrid 2-0. Fortunately, results went their way elsewhere. But
sort of, though.
Kind of, yeah. Their big news, of course, they're through to the Champions League final, overcoming Chelsea. They play Madrid in the first same city final in European history, I think.
You're going to watch it?
It is, yeah, that is definitely the case. That's definitely the case.
Yeah, in Lisbon as well, not that far from Madrid. It'll be a good atmosphere, you would have thought.
You're going to watch it? I think I'll tune in.
Yeah, I've got a wedding that day.
Oh, annoying.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't
it's
it?
Worth not being friends with those people.
Call yourself a professional.
I'm emceeing as well.
Are you really? I knew you'd be doing something like that.
I was at a wedding for the World Cup final where Zidane did the headbutt, and only my friend who was born in Italy and then kind of moved over here when he was about 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock when he was 8 years old, and when he was the only one allowed to watch the final.
Oh,
was it his wedding?
No, I was really annoyed. I was like, how come he gets? Because he's a bit Italian. I was like, pfft. Rubbish.
That is poor, isn't it?
It really is.
Mm. It was a great game, Pete.
never saw it.
Sickening scenes in the Levante-Atleti match. Senegalese midfielder Papakouli Diop had Atletico fans doing monkey chants at him in front of police and stewards. Nothing done.
Poor.
It's not a big deal, is it, really?
Nothing from the bananas.
Not a big deal. Diop responded by doing a little dance, and he said afterwards, to take the heat out of the situation, I started to dance, but I didn't insult anyone. I don't have anything against Atletico supporters because it was only a section of their supporters that shouted at me. I mean, incredible grace and maturity there.
Yeah, but what is, I suppose, a positive that's coming out of all of this is that clearly this is a problem that happens regularly in Spain, but it's being highlighted regularly. Yes. Players are hitting back at it. So, I mean, if that keeps happening...
Whoa, Jim, you say it is a problem in Spain that happens regularly. Italy. But before this happened, actually, Spain manager Vincent Del Bosque said on racism, in football there is no racism, absolutely not. It's not something that everyone is doing. Well, yeah, OK. Not everybody's, you know, living in England, but lots of people do.
That means outside of England still exists.
Yeah. I want to think that these are isolated incidents. Even if they are, it's still happening, you fool!
I want to think I can fly. It doesn't mean I can.
Did you see Platini eating a Platini eating a bloody banana?
Oh, did he?
Like, oh, piss off.
Do something.
You're the one man who can actually do something about it.
Jesus.
And you ate a banana. You've really misunderstood this.
Yeah. I'll get involved.
Yeah.
No. So you just eat bananas and racism goes away. Brilliant.
What an idiot.
Suarez getting involved. Ugh.
Oh, dear.
Don't like
it. UEFA have urged Spain, the Spanish league, to take action.
Yeah,
tell them. Don't urge them, tell them.
As we said before, there needs to be some leadership at the top level.
Dear, oh dear. We'd spend the rest of the show talking about that, but we won't, because Real Madrid dropped points at home to Valencia. I mean, very fortunate for Atleti. Ronaldo rescued a point with a lovely finish in injury time. Did you see that?
Zlatan-esque.
It was, wasn't it? Absolutely glorious.
Good. Incredible.
Very good.
But yeah, they'll be annoyed with themselves that they let that opportunity slip. Barcelona as well.
But that's the danger, isn't it, when you have these two knackering Champions League ties, especially when you've not got a lot of experience with that. Obviously, they've gone far in the Europa League. Stuff, but
what a win, though, away to Bayern.
Yeah.
My goodness. Barcelona drew at home to Getafe to a very sloppy result. Getafe equalised in the 92nd minute. It's very interesting, the run-in in La Liga, because Atleti are at home against Malaga and then away to Barcelona. Now, Barcelona could be in with a shout for the league on the final day if they beat Atleti. Mm. But, of course, if they beat Atleti, they could hand the title to Madrid. What do they do? Yeah. What do they do?
Everton fans, let us know.
Well, I think Barcelona are kind of used to Real Madrid winning the league. Mm. So it's not like it would be the worst thing in the world. They obviously would hate it, but I think that they're going to go for it.
That's
they've
why it's so gutting that.
But if Real Madrid win all their games, they've won it, haven't they?
Yeah. But it looks like they're going to have to go to Barcelona and win. Because if they'd have beaten Levante, I think all they needed to do would have beaten.
It wouldn't have mattered the last time.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, God. What if Real Madrid do the double, it'd just be so heartbreaking.
For Simeone, everybody involved in that club.
I think Simeone's made a statement already, hasn't he? I mean, obviously he'd like to win these things, but I mean, he's pretty much announced himself.
Try to tell him that at the final whistle of the Champions League.
I will not go near him at any stage.
But if he could overcome Madrid in the league, in the Champions League, that would mean Copa del Rey, the league, and the Champions League, he's got the better of their city rivals.
Yeah.
The man would never have to work a day again in his life.
But
imagine it,
beat Barcelona to win the league and then beat Real Madrid to win the Champions League. There can be no further sort of proof of your credentials.
Absolutely. And speaking of proving credentials, we go on to Pete's game.
Yeah, I'm going to prove you all right. Matthew Lasseter, thank you for these clues and indeed the title. The game name is 15...
Lasseter always submits his clues.
15 to Juan Sebastian Verón.
Go on, Petey. Nice. Hit us with it, son.
I was born the 5th of October 1975 in Marseille, France.
What year, sorry?
1975.
Oh, 8 years after someone else.
Stop. Mm. Christophe Dugarry.
No. I am a towering 6'5".
Mm-hmm. Okay, go on.
Stop. Lilian Thuram.
I started my career at Marseille but did not play a game. I went on to play for Mulhouse, Cannes, Toulouse, Valenciennes and Valenciennes and Al Avignon. Al Avignon.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Al Avignon. I'll be Avignon.
Stop that.
Stop. Steve Sabidan.
No.
Oh, good guess.
Yeah. I like it when Marcus pulls out a player I've not heard in a while.
Go on.
I made 232 appearances for my main club, Celtic, joining in 2001, making my debut against Dunfermline in a 3-1 win.
Oh, Marcus, this is all over. It's right. Come on.
Exactly. Scottish football, Marcus.
I've got nothing at the minute.
In a pre-season friendly against Leicester City, I was sent off for a challenge on 17-year-old James Veselovsky, described as a disgraceful, a disgusting, malicious and intentional challenge by Leicester manager Craig Levein.
Bobo Balder.
Well done.
Thank you to Matt Lasseter in Surrey.
Well done, Matt. And well done, Bobo. Well done, Marcus.
Thanks. Correspondence, please.
Yes, I have gone for this week. Luis Suarez was inconsolable at the final whistle on Monday night. What's the most emotional you've been regarding football? Ooh. You can ask this one yourselves afterwards if you want, guys. Yeah. Peter Andrew James on Twitter says, as a 9-year-old, losing to Argentina on penalties and not understanding why my lucky Gary Neville coin hadn't brought us luck. It's actually quite sweet, that one.
Yeah.
Alex Wilson on Twitter, age 11 when I got sent to the Cedar headmaster for calling my coach a fucking wanker.
The emotion, I mean, he was, to be fair.
The emotion was sheer terror. Chris Hunt says, I believe he is a Cardiff fan. Well, look at this. When Michael Chopra scored a 92nd minute winner for Cardiff against Swansea, I lost my shit and my mind and my wallet and my phone and my keys.
Nice.
Yay.
This one's quite emotional, actually. Jamie, which is what we asked for, of course. Jamie Parkins on Twitter said, my dad missed me lifting the Hertfordshire Cup when I was young as he nipped off early to play golf.
Oh.
I hung my winning medal on his putter later that night.
Oh.
Yeah. Just to remind him that he's a terrible dad. He didn't put it, I added that bit in. Richard Wilcox says, I got quite animated at Norwich once when a Reading penalty wasn't given and I smashed a seat and was thrown out. Don't tell Delia.
Well, you just have, because she definitely listened.
I was in absolute bits when Wolves appointed Dean Saunders as manager. That's for Rob Morris.
Absolute bit.
What else have we got here? Oh, this is, I'll tell you what. This is the penultimate one. This is very, very emotional. When I was 12, I was crap at football, but I always turned up to training, so I always made the bench. That was the rules. I never played, ever. Mr. Bell always used to tell the subs to start warming up after half-time, then he'd bring one or two on, but he never used to bring me on. One match, we were in the cup, taking an absolute beating, so Mr. Bell was going to put me on for the last 15 minutes. But I had taken my warm-up jog to new lengths, knowing he would never put me on, and I was 3 pitch lengths away when he went to sub me on. He told me he was going to play me after the match had I been closer. I cried all the way home.
Oh, that's horrible.
I hope, so sad. Kevin, I genuinely hope your life has improved since then.
Yeah.
And just to wrap it up, there's quite another one here. Funny, another one here from Andrew Crossan on Facebook. As an Arsenal fan on the tube home from central London after the Champions League final loss, having a man from Cameroon scream Samuel Eto'o in my face for 18 stops.
Oh, my goodness.
Imagine that.
Was it Roger Miller?
I'll finish off from Liam through Twitter, who says, losing the FA Vars final with Tiggy Rainbow.
Gutty.
Always nice for Tiggy to get a mention. Because nice. He doesn't even know about this.
That's right, and he never will.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to download podcasts.
No.
Probably.
Poor old
Tiggy. I've
too many to tell you about, to be honest. Yeah, well, it's way too many.
Yeah. I think I remember being in the Farnborough town end. Where we met, of course. Not in the Farnborough town end.
Yeah.
Farnborough College.
That's not a euphemism.
No, of course not. Away at Arsenal in the FA Cup. And they scored. Farnborough scored. And it was a great day out. It was like everybody from the town there. Look around, you could see, you know, the book.
Oh, they got beat 5-1 or something.
5-1.
Who scored?
Rocky Baptiste.
Yeah. Right, okay.
But it was one of those, it was like something out of The Simpsons. You turn around in the crowd and you could see, like, the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Krusty the clown.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who run the video shop, all that kind of stuff. Everybody was there. And it was a great day, and it would have been. You thought to yourself, oh, Farnborough have got a score. They had a man sent off like halfway in.
They went a goal up as well, didn't they?
No, they didn't. They were 3-0 down. This is the truth. People can check this. But they had a man sent off after about 25 minutes, and you can see the guy going, I know I was last man, but look, it's Highbury.
Yeah.
And of course, Baptiste went through and he scored. He missed, actually. He put the 1-on-1. I think it was Taylor in goal. And then he just stabbed it. Rubbish goal. A pandemonium. And I was on the end of the row. And everyone just went like surging. And I ended up like about 5 rows down from where I was sitting. Absolutely glorious. You don't get that anymore, Pete.
No. You don't.
Pete, you got any?
Probably Speed's Kids on the pitch. Gary Speed's Kids.
That was awful.
Yeah, I managed to get on the pitch at Fratton Park for Paul Walsh's testimonial and give Paul Gaskell a rub on the head.
No, nice.
Yeah, that was quite good. Yeah.
Jimmy?
Naeem from the halfway line was a bad one. That was obviously a terrible one. But weirdly, another one was when, I think this would have been around Euro 2004, maybe the World Cup in 2006. I'd gone back to my hometown and I was hanging out with my best mate who I went to school with. And we watched a recap of Euro 96.
Oh, yeah.
And caught up in all of the emotion of it again, like the spanking of Holland, how well it looked, like, you know, how we should have won it. Mm. And then when it got to Southgate, missing the penalty.
Oh, yeah.
The pair of us were just broken.
Yeah.
Like, all over again. We properly relived it. It was... Mm. Oh,
the Gazza missed, though,
it was always worse than the first time.
Ronaldinho's goal against Seaman, I think that was a that was a big one. I think running on the field at Brian Honor, at Hartlepool Heroes testimonial, where, like, you know, Newcastle were playing, and it was Ginola and Fernand's second game, I think, for Hartlepool. For Newcastle, rather. Steady. And, and all the young kids ran on the pitch to get their things signed by all the, you know, the famous people, and I ran over to Scott Sellers because he's my favourite player.
Aww.
Utility man.
What a terrible decision.
Is that restraining
in
order
in hindsight? In hindsight, ridiculous.
Marvellous.
He didn't have the money for the court order, so that's fine.
Nice.
That'll teach him.
Did anyone go one of Lee Sharp's barbecues? No, we weren't so lucky. We weren't so lucky. But that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, the email address is shoutthefootballramble.com. The Twitter account is @footballramble, and of course the website is thefootballramble.com. Pete?
Yes, Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio moving to Sunday this week. Same time, same team, just 24 hours later than normal. We're going to have commentators at both Anfield and the Etihad as well. So
nice.
So we can find out who's going to be lifting that trophy.
I think we know.
I think we already know. I think we already know.
And do get on to the Football Ramble website or on iTunes, where you can download some special shows we're doing with Papa John's, your favourite pizza maker, and ours now.
Yeah, based around the Football League playoffs.
We ate so much Papa John's today. In fact, you know, if we sound a bit sleepy, could we just eat and eat and eat? It was brilliant.
I'm actually quite peckish.
Luke's gone in for another serving.
Another dip. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Luke.
Goodbye.
Pete.
Goodbye.
Cheerio from me.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.